If you read forensic thrillers, I'm betting you've got several Patricia Cornwell titles on your shelf. She is, in fact, one of the creators of the genre. Flesh and Blood is the 22nd in her incredibly popular Kay Scarpetta series. Kay, as fans know, is a medical examiner. Patricia sold her first novel, Postmortem, while working as a computer analyst at the office of the chief medical examiner in Richmond, Virginia. Postmortem won the Edgar, the Creasy, the Anthony, and the McCavity Awards, as well as the French Prix du Roman d'Aventure, the first book ever to claim all these distinctions in a single year. To date, Cornwell's books have sold more than 100 million copies. Patricia's novels center on Scarpetta, along with her tech-savvy niece Lucy and fellow investigator Pete Marino. Over 20 years, these characters have grown into an international phenomenon, eventually winning Patricia the Sherlock Award for the best detective created by an American author. When not writing from her Boston home, Patricia researches cutting-edge forensic technologies to include in her work. Patricia co-founded the National Forensic Academy and created a chair in organic science at Harvard. She appears as a forensic consultant on CNN and serves as a member of Harvard-affiliated McLean Hospital's National Council, where she advocates for psychiatric research. She's also helped fund the ICU at Cornell's Animal Hospital, the scientific study of a Confederate submarine, the archaeological excavation of Jamestown, and she supports a variety of law enforcement charities. I'm so pleased to welcome Patricia back to the Book Report. Welcome, Patricia. It's great to have you back with us on the Book Report.
Oh, thank you.
Why the title Flesh and Blood for your latest Scarpetta?
Well, because for a couple of reasons. One, I try to remind people that my books are not about the dead. They're really about the living and what the living do when the worst happens to people. So Flesh and Blood is a reminder that we're dealing with warm-blooded human characters who are very alive and working very difficult cases. There's also the meaning that the serial sniper cases I'm showing you in Flesh and Blood also have a direct threat to Scarpetta's inner circle, her sort of extended family, her own flesh and blood. She has to worry that something bad may happen to these people she cares about because of this extremely diabolical and gifted shooter who's out there killing people. And she begins to get the horrible feeling this person knows her and knows the people around her and may in fact be somebody she knows very well. It's also an allusion to her niece, who is like her daughter, Mrs. Lucy, who's a major character in the series, a computer genius, and Scarpetta begins to wonder, is Lucy maybe involved in what is happening? Her own flesh and blood, is she involved in these cases? And that becomes quite a roller coaster ride as we get closer to the ending.
Right. For years, primetime TV has been inundated with shows about Emmys and forensic and all the CSIs, for example. Has our national familiarity with basic forensics impacted the way you write Scarpetta today?
Well, it has impacted the way I write Scarpetta for the simple reason that in the old days, when I was getting, you know, back in the 90s in particular, I had to go into a whole lot of detail about every aspect of forensic examination because nobody knew anything about it. They didn't know what a scanning electron microscope did. They didn't know what trace evidence really was. And so I had to go to, you know, they didn't really know what an autopsy looked like. Now I am much more sparing in some of my descriptions and maybe try to show you more what it looks like through Scarpetta's point of view, because you don't need 20 pages to describe an autopsy or even for me to tell you what an autopsy table looks like because you see them all the time. So that has made my life, my approach to these books different, just as current events and changes in technology change what I do as well.
Right. Scarpetta now makes her home in Cambridge. What does that city open up for you as a writer?
Well, the Cambridge area of Massachusetts opens up a lot of fun things for me. It's the locations become characters. You know, they have interesting features and histories, and all of it gives Scarpetta a very rooted sense of place, and that becomes part of the story as well. What bridge she might go across, and what happens when she's there, and so You know, and of course I live there, so I ride with the, I live in the Boston area, so I ride with the Cambridge police, and I do a lot of research around there, but, and it's also the mecca of technology. You've got MIT, you've got Harvard, so it's really, in a, I think it's a good place for her to be, and it seems to make sense.
We're speaking with Patricia Cornwell on The Book Report. You write so knowledgeably about weapons in the book. Where do you stand on the politicalization of gun control?
Well, I think that we need some voice of reason in all this. You can't buy a car and start driving it legally without some kind of training and a license. And that is in and of itself an incredibly dangerous weapon if it's in the wrong hands, as we all know. And the same should be true of firearms, is that we need just responsibility to make sure that, for one thing, if you're going to go out and buy some high-caliber pistol, to me it's terrifying if you've never shot anything like this and know nothing about it. You run the risk of very bad mistakes, of terrible accidents, or of poor impulse control where you do something you didn't mean. So I would certainly like to see a more logical approach to how people deal with weapons that they're allowed to own. You know, I grew up with guns in the house. My brothers hunt. I've owned my share of them when I've lived in places where I wanted home protection because I lived out in the middle of nowhere on lots of acres of land. I'm not going to walk out with a dog late at night and not have protection if I need it. So I see both sides of the issue very clearly.
Your stories incorporate so much cutting-edge science, yet that never interrupts the narrative flow. What tips would you share with aspiring writers as to how you achieve this?
I always say you have to know a lot to say a little. And so I would say educate yourself. If you're interested in something, go research it. Go do anything that gives you exposure. Go follow somebody around who does it for a living. Don't just depend on the internet, because you won't really get the feeling of what it's like. You won't get the smells or the way the wind blows off of, you know, some location that you want to go to. You won't get the emotionality of it if you don't witness it for yourself. So that's what I say. Go out there and be an explorer.
Is there a typical amount of time that you devote to research before sitting down and writing each book?
Well, I typically will spend a couple months right after I finish the last book. I jump right in and start doing research on the next one and get the major heavy lifting out of the way. For example, I've got this ongoing scuba theme that has to do with the Bermuda Triangle that you see at the end of Flesh and Blood, and that will extend into the next book. And I already did the diving, the shipwreck diving this summer, and did some other things to get those out of the way as I begin the writing of the new one. But I also continue to research as I'm going along. I'm looking things up and investigating things right up until the very end.
You're about to take on some TV. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, and I'm so excited about this. I've created a character named Angie Steele. She's an MIT graduate who ends up becoming an investigator, a police investigator, when she has the massive disruption of learning that her twin brother is a serial killer. And he goes to trial and is locked up at San Quentin. And Angie leaves the world of technology, of big money-making search engines and software and all these things that she was doing, and she becomes a cop. I think it's going to be a really fun story with lots of great characters. I'm working on the pilot right now for CBS, and the hope is that Angie Steele is going to become a big series on their network and that people will get to see the same brand of characters on TV that they get with my novels.
When can we expect that on TV?
Well, I've got to, like, the pilot is due in a couple of weeks, so stay tuned. Hopefully it's going to be filming in March, God willing, and then we'll hope it becomes a series that airs next fall. That's my hope.
Oh, well, you hope so too. Any final thoughts about Flesh and Blood?
I just think that people are going to really enjoy this book. It moves very quickly. For people who've never read a Scarpetta, you can read this book and you understand their entire universe. You know the characters. You will not feel left out if you haven't read the first 21 books. And that's very important. And I think the ending's going to really shock you.
It certainly is a cliffhanger. Thank you so much for joining us today, Patricia.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.